Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, to my colleague Simon Constable, writing for the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications, we begin, however, with springtime in paradise. Simon and I rush to tell you that it will touch 60 today in southern New England, while it was 7 degrees at 5 a.m. just a week ago. We're experiencing a wonderful transformation. The daffies are poking through, so are some of the lilies. There are buds on all the major trees, and it's a joy to walk next to the stream in the morning. It's rushing with what's left of the melt-off. And my Springer Spaniels are delighted with all the new aromas. How is it in paradise, Simon?
Well, that sounds lovely where you are at the moment. I woke up this morning to 41 Fahrenheit, and it was raining, and I had to take the dog out for a longish walk. It stopped raining as soon as I got back indoors. I don't know how it does that. I don't know who's in charge of that. It was sunny in the middle of the day, and then more rain in the late afternoon. So not terrible, but not as lovely as what you've got at the moment. And yes, we have also, the daffodils are out, and they're looking fantastic, because they always do. It's an announcement of spring.
Your trees are budding as well. You're well ahead of reality. And I enjoy the fact that it's raining. But it is springtime, Simon. That it does bring rain now and again in paradise. We move from paradise to commodities. You might have heard there's turmoil in the markets. And so tariffs, steel, aluminum, eggs, strawberries, avocados, finished products, BMWs, random. However, we can check on a few things to say what these threats in the morning and never minds in the afternoon are doing to the commodities market. Simon, I don't even want to start with energy. I want to go right to iron, which is an important ingredient when you're making steel. Has it moved at all this last week, or what is it done year over year?
Year over year, it's down 11%, but it hasn't moved much from last week. It's about $100 a ton, a metric ton, that is. That's about 2,200 U.S. pounds. So not really moved a lot. And you would have expected that if this was going to have any impact on the global, global iron ore price, you would have expected it to move by now, but it hasn't moved. I mean, it's very interesting.
Yes,
copper remains strong, though. That's at $4.87 a pound, and that's up 20% on the year. That's a very, very good sign that somewhere in this global economy, something good is happening.
Positive. Now we go to the bourgeois commodities. Orange juice, coffee we'll leave to last, and cocoa to make chocolates. Any movement?
Yes, orange juice is now $2.86 a pound, $2.86. That's down 20% from this time last year. And cocoa is also down. It's now at about hovering around $8,000 a ton, a metric ton. Again, 2,200 pounds, US pounds, that is, and that's minus 30%. Remember, it was way above 10,000 a few weeks ago. So it's coming back down again, which is exactly where I want it. I want it much, much cheaper.
Well, you have a proverb for this, Simon. The answer to high prices is high prices, and that's what's happened.
It is, and people have got to remember that. And the solution to low prices is low prices. It works every time. However, the people doing the coffee haven't got the message yet. It's still high. Coffee is now $3.88 a pound. You won't get that in the market anywhere in the world because you have to actually buy the cost of transportation and packaging and all the rest of it. It's still up 102% on the year. So that's still a lot higher. That's eye-watering highness. I'm hoping that goes down as soon as possible too, because otherwise the day can't start. And if it goes up anymore, that'll be a real problem.
All right, let's go back home, Simon. There's trouble in the happy kingdom by the sea. As I understand it, Mr. Starmer, emerging from one tussle with the Ukrainians and the White House and other characters who participate in NATO meetings and vote no, Mr. Starmer's returned home to no peace whatsoever. Now, being prime minister is not about being in a cushy job. You become the target of everybody's unhappiness. But this one is peculiar. It appears that in order to pay for the boasting new defense budget, one of the places to get money is the dole, the social welfare net. What's polite talk? I don't know. In any event, Mr. Starmer has indicated that Rachel Reeves, the chancellor, will look for monies to be saved from reducing the list of people who are not working whatsoever. We're working before the COVID, but have not worked since then. There's an opinion that there might be some people who can go back to work and are taking too long to get there. Is that an opinion that's been around for years, or is it just the COVID that drives it, Simon?
I think it got a lot worse through COVID and after COVID in the wake of it. And it's becoming a real problem for the economy as a whole, because in many ways, there are not enough people out there looking for jobs. So candidates are in short supply for jobs of all levels. It's very interesting to see that. And it would be good to get people off the dole, get them back paying taxes. So you get two wins. If you get people back to work, you're not paying them social funds, and you're also getting tax dollars or tax pounds in the UK to go to the Treasury. So it's a double win if that can happen. Also, people who go to work tend to be a lot happier mentally, and so there's less drain on the National Health Service, which is the socialized medicine situation we have in the UK. It really could be a good idea. Of course, it's upsetting people, because many of the voters may have been people who were really enjoying being on the dole. Who knows?
It's upsetting members of Mr. Starmer's party. There's said to be 80 members of the majority who are in complete revolt with touching those funds and regard Starmer as a betrayer of his campaign promises to secure the safety net. So he's got a firefight on his hands, but he's already boasted he's going to go from 2.33 to 2.5, which is not profound, but it is if you're in arrears. And everybody else is heading to 3 and maybe higher if they're going to feel the force that's credible in the years to come. Ukrainian situation may solve itself. Mr. Starmer is not going to solve his own party. Finally, leaving England, we come back to France. Simon sends me an amazing BBC report. What happened to all the village bars in France? Where did they go, Simon?
They just vanished. Maybe they got abducted by aliens. It really is shocking. There have been some very, very tight regulations on who and how many basically bars, bistros that serve alcohol there can be in any given town, whether there are too many or not too many. And a lot of them have disappeared from rural areas like the area in which I live. Now, there are some bars and bistros near where I live, but the very closest one, which is a very tiny little hamlet, has nothing. It doesn't even have any shops. It has a church, no shops, no bar, no nothing. And the government is trying to change that now, and it may go through. And if it does, that will be very good, because it's a good social way to connect people who are going there just to have a little bit of wine or maybe a beer or maybe some spirits. I think it would be very good and help with the economy. There's a lot of people who could do with a job in rural France.
The legislature voted 156-2. To loosen strict restrictions on new bar permits to sell alcohol. I think this sounds like an opportunity for Simon Constable, the French Englishman who lives nearby. Anyway, you went from 200,000 bars and cafes serving alcohol in the 1960s to 36,000 today. Wow. I mean, that's a wipeout. So
That is a wipeout, and the restrictions seem utterly ridiculous. Yes. I can understand people being upset if there's a lot of noise because you have a lot of bars, but having just one in a town, and some towns are like that, they just have one bar bistro, basically got a monopoly, is really just too restrictive. A couple would be good, and then they could actually fight against each other to produce the best service to the customers. I think that would be a much better situation.
Let's take ourselves to Simon Constable's future cafe that serves alcohol and sit and talk of March 2000, the year the music died. So Simon Constable, writing for the Wall Street Journal. He's living in paradise where it's raining. I enjoy the irony. I'm living in New England where it's cold, and then suddenly it's sunny and 60. I'm John Batchelor.